I do encourage you to watch her TED talk. It's really interesting. It's hard to be vulnerable. This new sermon series is going to get us asking hard questions of ourselves and one another. And that's probably a good thing. Questions about our mental health, which is just as important as our physical health. I know that many of us here in this room have anxiety or depression or on antidepressants or have other mental health conditions. And that's normal. That's okay. It's okay to not be okay. And so it's right that we're talking about this, because it's part of our human experience. But often when we get to church, we project something that is not how we're feeling. A bit like this. Head up, stay strong, fake a smile, move on. Or a bit like this. Keep calm, everything's fine. I wonder how many of you in that very snippet of a moment actually said what's really going on. I wonder. Because we all do this. I do it all the time. Because I have this strange belief in my little Yorkshire head that I cannot tell you how I'm feeling because I'm the minister, you know. You can't possibly know that I'm a train wreck. Because I'm meant to have it all together. We all do this. And I don't think that's actually a really healthy way to do church together. So I'm pleased that we're going to be talking about this, because it opens us up to how life really is. Sometimes if we say how we really are, we worry what other people will think, that we don't have enough faith, that we're not walking in victory, whatever that means, that we're not right with God, or we don't trust God enough. And all of that's a bit stupid, really. In the book, Patrick Regan says this. In a phrase that was unhelpfully shared with me during the long process of my knee operations, only made me feel angry and unloved. When someone tells you, God won't give you the burden if you can't handle it, you feel as though God can't know you at all. Or that you are the church, when we've often added to this misquoting of scripture by saying, well, God won't give you more than you can bear. This idea can cripple us when we feel we can't cope anyway. We need to let go of this strange image of God measuring up how much pain we can deal with. That only confuses our understanding of who he is and how he relates to us in our suffering. That comes from this verse in 1 Corinthians. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So it's not, he won't give you more than you can bear. It's a complete misquotation of scripture. So in this journey, in these weeks ahead, we're going to be real with one another. And it's my experience that the Bible is often more honest than the church is. Often more real, often more raw. One of my go-to places when I am in a grump with God is the Psalms. The Psalms can be split into three. One of my favorite Old Testament theologians, only because I've met him, is Walter Brueggemann. And he says the Psalms can be split into three. Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation and Psalms of new orientation. And we're going to think about one psalm of disorientation or lament. I like the word disorientation. Don't we sometimes feel that life is disorientating? That's a really hard word to say. Listen to this Psalm of David as he says what he honestly feels to God. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. That's real. There's times when life is anything but in balance, when everything is off kilter and life is disorientating. All sorts of things can do that to us. Illness, work problems, relationship breakdowns, surprises, mental health, bereavement, burnout, sin. Times when we don't feel that God is listening and he's distant somewhere else. There's lots of disorientation in the Psalms, both personal and national. There's often a sense of injustice, of abandonment and bewilderment at the circumstances people find themselves in. And in this psalm, there is a lot of questions. It's a psalm of David. We're not told what it's about, but clearly he's having a bad time. It's okay, David, to not be okay. But there's so much frustration and provocative questions that he asks God. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? There is a sense of abandonment in these words. There's an inner struggle going on. David feels that God has hidden his face away from him, leaving him to face all of this entirely by himself. And I'm sure that there's times all of us have felt, where is God in this particular season that I am living through? And that's how David is feeling, and he can't work out why. I wonder what you'd say to King David to answer these questions. Don't worry, David. God won't give you anything more that you can bear. Chin up, my love. Keep smiling. Look on the bright side. You're still king. Can I tell you a joke about spaghetti? When life looks like that, and let's be honest, it sometimes does, and we're not immune from that as Christians. Oh, flipping it, we are not immune from that. The Bible never says we will be. When life looks like that, we need people beside us. Friends. Christian family who will sit with us And if we can't pray on our behalf, someone who stands with us in the darkest times and is an encourager, a listener, and a friend. Because when times look like this, it's easy to turn away from others. People who we may not think understand what we're going through. Sometimes we get this strange impression that everybody else has their life sorted. It's only me, you know, that's a complete mess. Everybody else's marriage is perfect. Everybody else never argues with their significant other or their children. Everybody else, apart from me, has got it sorted. And so when we feel like that, we isolate ourselves and feel that nobody else could help walk with us in the situation we find ourselves in. But spoiler alert, from what I know of you lot, nobody's got it sorted. None of us. So we're all in the same boat together. And it's especially tempting when life hits us hard to give up on God, to forget his faithfulness and his goodness. So when times are easier and happier, it's so important that we have established a discipline of prayer and worship so that when we hit those times of trouble and challenge, it's to God we turn to, even if we don't feel like it. And that's what David does in this short psalm. And he reminds us that everything can be part of a conversation with God. Everything can be brought to him, even if it's a rant at him. Even if it's a complaint about God, God has wide shoulders. Even if we want to scream and shout at God, that's okay. David doesn't pretend, but neither does he abandon walking with God. And in this psalm, as well as so many other psalms of disorientation, we see that God's okay with David not being okay. And the psalm ends surprisingly well. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. In the good times, David has stored that up to remember for when times are hard. Jewish people had a habit of doing that, of telling their stories so they were reminded of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. The Psalms remember this. It's remember the works of God as the basis of faith in him and trust for the future. They are remembered promises for when time is tough. So I encourage you to keep on seeking who Jesus is in good times, so that when and if bad times come, everything can be brought into the conversation with God. So I'm going to finish with something I read on a blog this week. I'm going to quote it in its entirety. It made me stop and really think. When you walk into church this weekend, if you don't feel happy, don't put on a smile. Weep if you must. You're with family. You're not performing. You're not attending a costume party, so leave your mask at home. Actually, go back and shatter it to pieces. The Sunday mask is evil. destroy it like an idol of old. What's the point in pretending anymore? God knows what you're going through and understands. So take that fake smile and turn it into healing tears, because there's no shame in your humanity. It's precisely because you are heartbroken or angry or broke or lonely that Jesus gave you his life and his family. However, I have to be honest with you, and as a pastor, I know this well. It's easier for us when you pretend. It's less messy. It's safe and predictable. And in the 90 minutes we get together at church on Sunday, we thrive on safe and predictable. But please don't let us get away with that. God gave us one another so we could cry, laugh, challenge, and honor. For iron sharpens iron, for strangers to become friends, for enemies to become family. Remind us leaders why we congregate together. Remind the church that we meet because we all need Jesus. Because we're all hungry for love and desperate for connection. And so the theater of pretend needs to end. On Sunday, we come together to cry, to meet with God, to find encouragement in the storm, and be free from the lie that says you don't belong. And if you're happy then, be extra happy. Don't pretend seriousness either. Be contagious with your joy. Spread good love and cheer. We need the strong. We need the weak. We need the in-between. But most of all, we need the honest and the real. Amen.